And take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Many of you go to work all week long and come to church on Sunday. And today we are going to talk about your work all week long. What does the Bible say about work? We just had an election relating to, I believe, and along with many others, the reality of work in America and what it means and how it affects our lives. So what does the Bible say? What does the book of Proverbs say about work? We're going to look at that this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do praise you this morning. We praise our Savior. We ask this morning that your word would teach us. Help us, Lord, to know it and to apply it and to live it out. Help us, Father, that even when we go to work, we may honor you. So, Father, we pray your word would go with the Holy Spirit's power this morning. May our hearts be receptive to it. And may great things happen in our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. I want to share three things with you this morning about work. Now, the first that the book of Proverbs talks about is that we ought to work diligently. Work diligently. Proverbs compares being diligent or working hard with laziness. I believe the election we just had in America relates to that. Relates to the question of how lazy do we want to be, and how much do we want to just sit back and allow the government to put in our hands and we kind of do nothing? Now, for those who are disabled, they have every right to be taken care of and be helped. I know my uncle worked many years dealing with disability, and when he quit working, they had hired two guys to take his place. So people like that have every right to look for help and to get that help. But unfortunately, in America, we have so many that are healthy but are lazy. The Bible makes very clear that we as Christians ought not to be lazy. So let's look. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He who gathers in summer is prudent. But he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And then go back to verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. If you are lazy, if you are slack, you'll end up in poverty. But the prudent, notice, they don't sleep. They do, it's very little. They spend many hours working, and they work hard, they work diligent. The reality is that's what this world is all about. This world is about working hard and putting forth effort and doing the things that we need to be doing instead of just sitting back and expecting everyone else just to hand something to us. Skip over to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. If you work, you will have a profit from it. If you sit back and are lazy, notice the sluggard craves, he wants things, but he doesn't get them. Why? Because he's not willing to do anything. He's not willing to work hard. He's not willing to put forth effort. Chapter 14, verse 23. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. You know, the great truth is if you're willing to work, you will find profit. If you're willing to work, you will have a result of your work. But if you talk, like some people, they talk about all the things they're going to do, and then you kind of watch, and they never do anything. They talk about their next great idea, their next big job, or their next big work, but when you look at their life, they're not doing anything. Mirror talk leads only to poverty. Talk about all the things you're going to do, but don't do them, you're going to end up in poverty. There's a difference between being diligent and being lazy. In fact, let's look what the Bible says about laziness. Turn back to chapter 12. Proverbs 12, verse 24. We saw it already use the word sluggard. Now we found another word for laziness. Look at verse 24. The hand of the diligent will rule, but while the slothful will be put to forced labor. In other words, laziness ends up in slavery. Look at verse 27. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Slothful, they go out, they get game, but even them, because they're so lazy, they don't do what it takes to make sure they can eat what they've caught. Skip over to chapter 18. Verse 9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So, you know, you look at this word and you look around at people who are lazy, they're not willing to work, they're not willing to get anything, but they're willing to take everything you have. They always have their hand out looking for what you could give them. Notice that that kind of person is brother to the person who destroys. Strong word. You know, we Christians, we tend to want to help people. When someone asks for help, we tend to want to give. But you know, sometimes when we do that, all we are is enabling people sometimes just to be even more lazy. In fact, Proverbs says that. Proverbs says that a lazy person tends to get even more lazy. Look at chapter 19, verse 15. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Have you ever noticed that when you sit around and do nothing, you eat a lot? Or when you sit around and do nothing, you tend to be really tired? But if you're working really hard and doing a lot of things, you seem to keep going. But then, like, you kind of don't work for a few days and, you know, Monday hits and you're tired. Why? Because when you're not doing a whole lot, it tends to make you even want to do a whole lot less. Look at verse 24. I love this verse. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. In other words, he's so lazy, he puts his hand down to eat his food, but he's so lazy, he can't even bring his hand back up to his mouth so that he can eat. There's nothing worse than having nothing to do. It just seems like time just drags on. You sit around, you get bored, you get tired, you get sleepy. When you're busy, you're less sleepy. You're just super busy and you can kind of keep going. Laziness makes one more lazy. Look at chapter 21, verse 25 and 26. Laziness results in unfulfilled cravings. Verse 25, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse the labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. The sluggard, man, he has desires, he wants things, he wishes he had what other people had, but because he's not willing to work, he makes excuses for all reasons why he could sit back and do nothing. His desires tend to kill him because he desires them, he wants them, but he never gets them because he's unwilling to work. You know, we wonder why our country's in such a financial mess. One of the reasons is that in America, we've lost that desire and ability to go out and work. And we are reaching a point in America where there are more people that are on government assistance and just want handouts than are willing to work. For example, think about unemployment. The purpose of unemployment is to hold somebody over until they can find a job. But what I find is that often when people go on unemployment, they look at it as a vacation. And they go on unemployment and they say, well, I got a year's unemployment, so before they actually go looking for a job, I mean really looking for a job, all they do is sit on unemployment for the year, and maybe a week or two before it's out, then they start looking. It's not the purpose of unemployment. If you are unemployed and you need a job, you ought to be spending 8 hours a day, if not more, looking, really looking for a job. Not just sit back and taking it in. Sluggard craves, the slothful craves, but because they're not willing to work, they don't get it. The Bible's pretty strong about this. Look at chapter 22 and verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. What's he doing? He's making up excuses for why he can't work. There is a lion outside. If I go out there, I'm going to be killed. I can't go out there and get a job. You know, if you are a teenager, you ought to consider getting a job and learning to work, working a couple hours, doing something with your hands so that you learn what it's like to work. Isn't it amazing that once teenagers grow to young adulthood and then they go into their own apartment or their own house, how they all of a sudden learn how to turn the light switch off? Isn't that amazing? Begin to learn what things, the value of things and what they're really worth and what they're really all about and why you don't want to give all your money to the utility companies because you work so hard for what you have. Lazy person can think of 100 reasons why they can't work. And they can think of 100 reasons why you should give them money so they don't have to work. Tell you what, Christians, there's a time when we need to say no. There's a time when people sit back and don't work when they perfectly could work that we need to sit back and say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. We have people that go through the phone books, and all they do is go to church after church after church after church after church after church after church. They want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with the church. They just want a handout. A pastor friend of mine went one time, and a lady had called and needed some grocery help, they said. So the church went, and he had 2 bags of groceries, his arms full, and knocked into the door. Could barely do that because he had groceries in his hand. And a lady said, come on in. So he went in. Here's this lady who was sitting there doing nothing, and she said, put the groceries in the kitchen. And when he went in the kitchen, there were bags and bags of groceries from a bunch of different churches. If someone's not willing to work, they ought not to go running around the churches, not go running around the Christians, and especially if they want nothing to do with God. We got to consider our part in giving them a handout, whether we should do that or not. I'm sure there are many Christians that just, you know, you have a hard time saying no to somebody, but sometimes you need to. And parents, if you have young adults and your young adults aren't willing to work, don't let them just sit on the couch and do nothing all the time. Challenge them. Challenge them to get off the couch and go get a job. And I think some kids destroy their thumbs playing games and texting and doing all those kinds of things, but they're absolutely unwilling to work. Look what the Bible says about it. Turn over with me to the scripture reading from this morning. Book of Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother or sister who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It's not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with them, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. You know, you find a professing Christian who's just plain lazy. The Bible says we ought to be careful about handouts. You know, I am amazed at so many people that say they are disabled and can't work. Yet you find them doing all kinds of things physically that could give them every right to be out there doing something. I find others who want handouts from people who are struggling to make a living, and they want you to give them things, and then when you go in their house, you find out they have more than you have. I think we need to be careful that we do not enable lazy people. Now, you might say, ask, where is the balance? And my answer to you would be, I don't know. I think it has to be on an individual basis. I think we have to, you know what God says about laziness, know what God says about work. And when people have every ability to be able to earn a living, they ought to be out there earning a living. Think of the poor people right now in New Jersey, New York, that are going through all those difficulties. You know, they're the kinds of people we ought to be helping. People who go through struggles, and we ought to help. Tammy and Chris last year when they went through the flood, and we helped them. You know, they're the kind of things we ought to be doing. But people who are just lazy and want nothing but handouts. And have you ever noticed you get sometimes lazy people and you help them a little bit, and then they want more, and then they want more, and then they want more. And if you did everything they asked, there would be a never-ending handout to everything they wanted. The Bible says if you even sleep a little bit, it's going to end up in poverty. We live in a hard world, a difficult world. We live in a world where it's getting tougher and tougher to kind of make ends meet. But we need to work diligently. Now, to add to that, because some people work diligently, but it seems like they continue to mess up and they still don't have enough, let me add to that, we need to work, secondly, smart. Working hard will cover up for a lot of mistakes, but it's not the answer to your financial woes. With hard work, you must also work smart, and let me say you must also spend smart. I find people that make very little money and they seem to get along okay. And I find other people who seem to make a whole lot more money than they do, and they don't seem to be very good at all because they're not very smart with their money. Someone once said it's not how busy you are, but it's why you are busy. The bee is busy and to be praised, the mosquito is to be swatted. So you got to be busy working, busy doing, diligently working. But as you do that, you got to be smart. Have some wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, my favorite guy in the Bible. Anybody know who it is? It's the ant. Proverbs chapter 6, the little old ant. Look at verse 6, Proverbs 6, 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Go to the ant, you lazy person. Why? Consider her ways and be wise. Go look at the ant and learn from the ant how to live life. What do? Without having any chief or officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food at harvest. In other words, the ant in summer, when it's time and can collect food, it gathers its food and stores it for winter. I wonder, do you do the same? During times when you have a lot of work, do you put money away for times when you don't have a lot of work? When it's summertime and your bills are less, are you putting the extra away for winter when the bills go up, or are you just spending it? The ant is wise. God has given it godly wisdom so that it can do what it needs to do. It gathers in summer so it's ready for winter. Verse 9. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little slumber, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Have you ever noticed an ant hardly ever stops? I don't know if you were like me. This is a confession. When I was little, young, I used to get the magnifying glass out. See, those of you who were laughing did it too, huh? And you'd follow the ant around to see if you could burn it with the magnifying glass. Isn't that horrible? I did that. It's absolutely shame on me. How many of you did that? Raise your hand. All right, so we got the rest of the sinners. Boy, those little guys, they wouldn't sit still. Kept moving. I want you to notice in this passage, when it's looking at the ant, it says a little sleep, a little slumber, and poverty will come. We have to work diligently. But in working diligently, we have to work smart. The ant's always busy. The ant's always doing something. But it's being smart in what it's doing. It's gathering in summer so it's ready for winter. I have given this truth a number of times, but I think it bears repeating. If you want $100,000 at age 65, and you can earn 12% return on your money, if you start at age 21 to put money away, all you would have to do is put $10 away a month, and you would have $100,000 at retirement. $10. Now, if you wait till you're age 45, then you have to put $108 away every month to get that same amount of money. Or 10 times if you had put money away when you were 21. Now, if you wait until you're 55, you would have to put $446 away every month, or 43 times the amount of money the 21-year-old put away on a monthly basis. See, what it's saying is, if you are a procrastinator, if you just kind of wait and don't do what you know you need to do, if you take the money you had in summer and you just kind of waste it going out to eat and doing things, and then you get that high winter heat bill and you're not ready for it, you're only going to get yourself in trouble. Put money aside for emergencies. Beware of eating out all the time. Be smart with your money. The ant is a great example of being smart and a great example of not being lazy. Let me also say, beware of get-rich-quick schemes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. There is no such thing. We hear it all the time, but there is no such thing. Proverbs 12, verse 11. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Worthless pursuits are things that are empty or vain or have no purpose. To follow them is used of chasing a dog. So you're following after things that you think are going to get you rich. Instead of the guy, verse 11, who works the land, who's busy and diligent, being smart and putting forth effort on a regular basis. This guy lacks wisdom, not energy. Because he pursues those things that are not in reality any good. Turn over to chapter 21. Look at verse 5. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes to poverty. Ought to be a planner. Someone has said, plan your work and then work your plan. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. Don't be in a hurry to get where you want to be. Be willing to take some time. Make a plan and then stick to that plan. Be a planner. Save little by little for things instead of using a credit card and getting yourself in trouble. You know, whenever it's possible, don't get a loan. Just save for that thing that you want. Plan ahead. Be smart. Don't be hasty. You know, one way of getting rid of a salesman is telling them, look, I never buy things the very same day I hear them. I always take at least 24 hours to sleep on it. And if you are so pushy that you want me to buy this thing today, forget it, leave, I'm done. Don't be hasty. Usually when you make hasty decisions, you make the wrong decision. Turn over to chapter 22. We got to be smart. Look at verse 29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. You know, if you want to do something that's worthwhile, learn how to do it well. If you want to be the person that doesn't get let go at your job, then become indispensable to the people that you work for. Be really good at what you do so that when they get ready to get rid of people, you're the last guy they want to get rid of, or the last girl they want to get rid of. Do your job well, and if you have to get more education to do it well, go ahead and do that, but do it well. Become good at what you do. The man who's too big to study his job is as big as he will ever get, someone has said. When you stop learning, you stop growing. Be willing to take more time to learn than just jumping in. And in the long run, you will do better by spending the time to work a little bit harder and get where you want to be. Be skilled at what you do. If it's worth doing, do it your best. And remember, as you work, every job you do, you ought to think, I'm not doing this for my employer, I'm doing this for God. So we're told in the book of Colossians. Chapter 23 in Proverbs. So we're going to work diligently, we're going to work smart. But look at verse 4. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. What it's saying is be careful about working so hard that you just wear yourself out to get rich. Work hard, but don't make work your life. Know when to come home to your family. And so many people don't know when to come home to their family. And they work and they build something great, but then they lose their family. It's not worth it. Far too many people are working just to get some extras. You know, the old saying was to keep up with the Joneses. So you go out and work and maybe mom and dad both work and you're working all kinds of hours and no one's home with the kids. And your kids kind of get lost in the shuffle because you're busy working. Don't work just for extras. Learn to work to eat, but not eat to work. money or things that you buy from work, those extras, they're really not worth your family. They're not worth losing your family over it. They're not worth losing your spouse over it. Work hard, but work smart. Turn to Proverbs 26. Verse 10. Like an archer who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or a drunkard. For those of you who are employers, be careful who you hire. Be careful who you work with. It's like an archer who kind of pulls the bow back. Man, he's just pulling that back and he's hitting everybody. He has no idea where to aim that thing. He just shoots and everybody's getting hit. Same is true of the person who hires the fool or a drunkard. You need to be very careful who you work with or who you ask to work for you. Again, what it's saying is we need to work smart. We work diligently, we work smart. Let me give you a third one. We need to work honest. Dishonesty among employees is rampant these days. And we see it basically in two forms. Employees who lie or employers who lie and stealing. Lying and stealing are rampant in the workplace today. In fact, you go up to Walmart or you go to Kmart or wherever, you're paying a lot more for everything you buy because people are stealing. And so often it's the people who work in those very places that are doing the stealing. Or it's people who walk into the stores and just start filling their pockets. Or amazingly, as it sounds, there are people who will walk in grocery stores, they will pick up fruit, and they'll just eat it as they shop, and then when they get near the counters, they'll kind of throw it out. That's stealing. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 15 and 16. The wages of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. The wages of the righteous lead to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Rich man's wealth is a strong city. Poverty of the poor is their ruin. We need to be like the righteous man. Righteous man goes out and he works honestly. Laborer wages refers to work or occupation. The gain is the produce of the earth, revenue. Don't do things that are illegal or unethical or dishonest or unbiblical. Shouldn't have to have your boss looking over your shoulder every minute to make sure you're doing your job the right way. Skip over to chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Notice we can't gain it hastily or dishonestly. If we do that, it will dwindle away. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value. A sinner's wealth is stored up, we're told in Proverbs, for the righteous. In fact, turn over to chapter 21. What does the Bible say about working dishonestly and just going out and doing things that would go against the Word of God? What will happen to that kind of money that we've gained or the kind of wealth we've gained from that kind of work? Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 6. The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. If If you go out and get money dishonestly, if your boss tells you to lie and you lie, I want you to know that that kind of wealth that you gain is a vapor. It appears a little bit, but then it's gone. It will not last because ultimately it will bring the judgment of God. Now, it may be in this world that you could be dishonest and you can work dishonestly and you might get ahead, but I want you to know there's a time coming when that dishonestly will just cause what you've gained to just fade away. People aren't willing to work smart. They're not willing to work hard. They're not willing to work honest these days, it seems. It seems these days that people just want to sit back and get freebies. The other day I was talking to somebody and they were all excited about how they were able to go to the dentist and get everything taken care of their mouth and they got it for free. And I said to the person, you didn't get that for free. I paid for that. And everybody who works paid for that. And I don't have dental insurance, so I couldn't even go and get what that person got. We want freebies. While others go out and work hard. Well, you know what? If you keep getting freebies from all those who work hard, the time is coming where the freebies are so big that there's not going to be enough workers to be able to provide all the freebies. In fact, listen to it this way. I wrote it this way this week. It seems that everybody wants freebies anymore. People shout with excitement, look at the freebie I just got. But they do not consider that someone had to work hard for them to get their freebie. Others cry, I deserve a freebie. Still others say, if they get a freebie, I want one too. Why should I miss out on the freebie? But with all the cries for freebies, pretty soon there'll be no one left who works hard so everyone can get their freebie, but then it will be too late. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily and do it as for working for the Lord, not for men. If you are a Christian at work, you more than anyone else ought to work diligently, smart, honestly. And if you do all those things, if you work diligently, if you work smart and spend smart, and you work honestly, and you look at the road ahead and you wonder how you're ever going to make it in this world, let me say one last thing. The Bible makes clear, if you're doing all these things and you are putting God first, God promises that he will meet your needs. Trust God. God always keeps his word. Let's pray. Father God, help us, Lord, to obey your word. Lord, I know during these tough economical times, there are people here this morning that are really struggling. Father, I pray that you might meet their need. Your word says that if we have not, it's because we didn't ask. Help us, Lord, to ask. And I do right now. I pray that you might meet the need of everyone here as they work hard and smart and honest. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Not only as individuals, but as a church. Help us to trust you to meet the need. And Lord, when you do, we know that many praises will overfill with thanksgiving for all that you're going to do. And for that, we thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.